on my feels like Stevie Johnson. Hold my women, throw it back like I caught an option. Money on my mind, money on my conscience. I'm all about my bills. I'm on my Stevie Johnson. I'm about my bills like Stevie Johnson. Hold my women, throw it back like I caught an option. Money on my mind, money on my conscience. I'm all about my bills. I'm on my Stevie Johnson.
Big bills in my duffel, yo. You don't want trouble, bro. Heat in my pocket, heart cold like buffalo. I would just hustle one thing, but I need options. That work about to touch down, call it Steve Johnson. Catch me flying through the field like who want beef? It's 25, but I could get it for the 1-3. Certified fly guy, you on my time. I'm really real and you as real as a sci-fi. I'm trying to bring it home, baby, it's our time. They cheering for me like I'm cross the 1-yard line. And I'm all about my bills like Stevie Johnson.
Black card boys, yes, BCB, we pop.
Get that dough straight across like I'm running streaks. My bills come in hundreds, my women come in threes. This hater ran up on your boy like he was furious. I lifted up my shirt like, why so serious?
I'm about my bills like Stevie Johnson. Hold my women, throw it back like I caught an option. Money on my mind, money on my conscience. I'm all about my bills. I'm on my
We are back, season 3, episode Stevie Johnson number 13. It's Ashley Petty, Will Dalton, Fredo here, breaking down a big Bills Monday night victory. The first time we could say that, guys, in 21 years, and boy, does it feel good.
Whoo! What an elephant out of the room.
Finally off the snide.
It's off the snide, to say the least. I mean, this... They last time I laughed during the broadcast on Monday night, they showed a Doug Flutie tweet that said the last time we won on Monday night, I was under center way back in 1999 against the Dolphins. And here we are. Bills finally get a big primetime win. They get that monkey off their back, and boy, did they play well. I want to jump right into things this week and get into that performance from our pride and joy, Buffalo's prodigal son, Josh Allen, 32 of 40, 375, 4 touchdowns. The guy was only sacked once. 139 passer rating. He was 19 points away from a perfect passer rating. Best game of his career. Best game of his career.
Easy. Easy. I mean, literally, you haven't seen a better game out of this kid. I was so impressed. I mean, what more can you say other than how, like, you've just seen. Now, I have this shirt on this week, you know, Buffalo versus everybody. But here's the thing. It seems like everybody in the national media has been on our side this week. They love Josh Allen, and a lot of people are coming out saying they were wrong. And then you had Mel Kiper out here screaming. He said, I love this kid from since he was at Wyoming. That was hilarious. If you didn't get a chance to watch it, by the way.
Well, I know
looking at the way Josh Allen played this past week, his game was exceptional. He was right on point with everything. His poise was tremendous. I mean, he stepped back in that pocket and just literally owned that game from start to finish.
It's funny because the highlight package that is from CBS this week started out with really nothing out of Josh. And then you get right back into it, and the guy really just played his heart out, played arguably – I think the best game of his career. I mean, maybe earlier in the season you can compare that Miami game at Miami. This was by far the best game of his career. His receivers were wide open. Isaiah McKenzie there. Gabe Davis, that touchdown late in the game, wide open. Cole Beasley, that touchdown pass that he had to Cole Beasley. Talk about threading the needle. I mean, this guy is playing like he is – the next Tom Brady, the next Aaron Rodgers, the next Andrew Luck, the next, I can go on and on in comparison. This guy is playing at an all-time high and at the right time. I mean, you got four straight primetime games. You got three straight starting this week, probably four because you think that Miami game, something's going to happen to it. It's remarkable. It's unbelievable.
Well, when you look at the way Josh stepped on the field this week, I mean, he always, you know I got down on him a few weeks ago, but that's because he kind of deserved it. He got on a little bit of a lull, and we weren't exactly sure why he was in that spot. He, you know, we pointed out maybe his grandparent, his grandmother passing away. You know, that might have had something to do with it, the delay in the COVID game. I mean, maybe that. But whatever the case, the kid is playing great football right now. And when you look at every single play, I even love to watch him throw the ball in the dirt, believe it or not. I mean, when he does that, I clapped. I'm like, yes, Josh, that was a great play. You know,
smart play.
It was smart. It was amazing. You know, I've never seen anyone thrown in the dirt so phenomenal in my life. But no, really, I mean, it's better decision making, and it's a lot less heart medication during the game. You know, as you guys like to joke around and point out, I am a few years older than y'all. I can't handle that Buffalo Bills stress that these boys put on an aging heart like they do on a norm. So when you can watch a football game and actually enjoy it without having to call your doctor, I mean, I think that's a win for everybody.
It is. We call them cardiac Bills for a reason.
I did want to point out, though, we got to realize, too, shout out to Josh. He's already passed his passing yards from last season. He's got 3,403 yards on the season. And I also want to shout out Brian Daboll right now because seven different players caught a pass and four different players had a touchdown.
Hey, another that was huge. Another thing is this. When you look at the way they are winning now, the way that they're winning right now is the way that they were designed to win. You know, this team is no different than the team we saw from day one. It's just that they've kind of adjusted. They've gelled a lot more. I swear Diggs and Josh, they've been playing together for 10 years. I mean, they're on the same page. Not to mention my all-star, Cole Beasley is my guy, man. I mean, you can't beat that. But we can't just single out one star on the team, and that's what's making them look so good because everybody's shining equally. You know, we're getting the tight ends involved. All the wideouts are involved. You know, Josh is playing phenomenal football. And finally, guys, we can stop trashing our defense. And my boy Ed Oliver stepped up and actually made a couple plays.
No, he didn't. He had no tackles this week.
No. Listen. I saw his number on the field actually chase a guy and touch his butt once. Oh. So I know I'm going to give him that point because I talk so much stuff on him that I'm going to – just the fact that he actually grazed the guy's butt cheek when the guy was going down to the ground, I say, Ed, way to be in on the play, big buddy. Way to do it. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Popeye's chicken's for you, my man. All for you.
Will, you are something else, man. That is something. That is funny.
Wow. All right.
And he was. I mean, Ed's playing better. Ed is definitely playing better football than he was maybe a few weeks ago. There's one thing I've been trying to get it. That's why I've looked a little distracted here over the last couple seconds. I can't get this file to convert, but I'm gonna bring it up on my phone because it's true to. So, well, Ashley mentioned it, how all the analysts or everybody's giving up the Bills credit. Everyone's giving the Bills credit. Look at the pregame on Monday night.
Love it. Love to see it. Yo,
I hate to see that, but I love to see that we proved them all wrong.
No, that's what exactly. I love to see is when we proved them all wrong. But also, did you see Dawson Knox tweeted about, oh, we were the underdogs in that game with like a laughing face? Like, this team has a swagger to them.
They do.
And I love to see it.
They do. Have you seen the picture, Joe Kroom? Shout out to Joe Kroom. Have you guys seen the picture that he edited of Dawson Knox diving into the end zone? There's a table right underneath him.
No,
it looks like he's going full speed into a table. It's a good one. Again, for some reason, pictures must be in MP4 mode for some or MP4 on here. I don't know why. It's weird.
Another solid photograph from this week is Rockabye Beasley.
Love yeah.
It. Oh, my God. Yes. And I've seen that one. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, I can do it now. Let's look. Let's see if I can get this. I can't. It's behind us now. But But no, this team showed out on the national stage. Now they get to do things again. I was hoping that we could possibly give Pittsburgh their first loss, but I'm going to tell you this right now. And mark my words, on December 9th at 9:01 p.m., first of all, it's December 9th. There's no snow on the ground. I know there was this morning, but there's no snow on the ground.
Don't jinx that.
I am not. I hope I'm not, but it's great. But the one thing that I would love to point out here, it's on the tip of my tongue. For some reason, I forgot it. This always happens to me.
But it was about the Steelers. So
yes, sorry. There it is.
There you go.
Pittsburgh's
very good, Ashley. Thanks for helping this young lad out.
Thank you.
You can joke about my age all you want, but I worry about your memory, man. You just said it 2 minutes ago.
I know. It's okay, though. But mark my words, at 9:02 p.m. now on December 9th with no snow on the ground, Pittsburgh's going to finish this season 12-4. The Bills are going to finish 12-4 also. And they're going to have the head-to-head tiebreaker over Pitt if it comes down to it. And I'm going to tell you this also. I think Cleveland's going to win that division.
Oh, Cleveland's smoking right now.
Our boys Cleveland's in hot. Cleveland finally get a playoff game.
Cleveland's hot they are. Right now.
I mean, Cleveland is looking great. As far as Pittsburgh losing that many games, I don't know, man. You know, they slipped last week for sure. They've been on the ropes a few games. Thompson always pulls them through. I think that Big Ben is going to step up and get them. They might lose two, and I'm giving us this win this week over them, because if we play like we played this week against them, it's watching how Pittsburgh's defense was last week, we'll kill these boys.
I'm going to tell you this, though.
I need to go on record because I'm about to have
– They're not going to beat the Colts, and they're not going to beat the Browns, and they still beat us.
That's true. But
I'm telling you, 12-4.
Here's the thing, and I kind of have to agree with Fredo, because I'm gonna go on my little rant. I was supposed to save this for later in the show, but I'm gonna go for it now. All right, so I just want to talk about how the Steelers could quite possibly be the worst 11-1 team that has ever been. All right,
oh my god, yeah.
So week one, you beat Daniel Jones. Saquon Barkley gets injured pretty early in the game, if I'm not mistaken. You get a win versus the Broncos, who really haven't had a quarterback or any sort of identity at all. You win against the Texans, who are 0-3 at this point. You win against Carson Wentz. Woohoo. You win against the Browns without Nick Chubb, and they really hadn't found their groove yet. You win against the Titans on a referee call. You win against the Ravens on a referee call. You win against the Cowboys, who are horrible. You win against the Bengals, who are horrible. You win against the Jaguars, who are horrible. And you win against the Ravens practice squad, and then you lose to a football team with no name. Please tell me how anybody in the league thinks they are that good.
Ashley, that was a really good rant. That was a really good rant.
That was a hell of a rant, Ashley. That just made me want to put my phone down, and any little notes I had, I'll just throw them right out the window. That was great. my notes read like this. Pittsburgh is a good football team. That's all I wrote on there. You know?
She's not wrong, and let me tell you why she's not wrong. Because arguably their most complete win was against the Browns back in October. Cleveland didn't show up to that game.
Nope.
But right. Before that, their most complete wins probably the week before against the Eagles. They put up 38. The Eagles scored 29. You're talking about an Eagles team that is now freaking awful. And they're averaging – right now they're averaging less than 20 points a game.
And they just kind of had the perfect storm to be undefeated until they went against Washington.
Yeah.
It was actually a decent – I mean, they're not great this year, but, you know, everybody deals with adversity. That's the theme of the year. Mm-hmm. So they finally dealt with their adversity. And, you know, it was awesome to see Alex Smith get that win, just by
it
the
was.
Way. Just to,
yeah, Alex it was. Alex Smith player of the year if anybody else gets it.
Easy.
Well, I mean, all around, Washington played a hell of a football game.
They
kind of kept Pittsburgh on their heels, and they just exploited weaknesses in that defense. And to be quite honest, Pittsburgh's offense wasn't as crisp as it had been. And not that they were Kansas City or anything, but they had been playing a little bit better than they played this past week.
I don't see us losing to Pittsburgh. I don't.
Nope.
I don't see us losing this game. I honestly – and we're going to get in predictions later. I'm not going to give you my final score prediction, but the Bills are going to win this game on Sunday by two scores. And could you imagine what Bills Stadium, whatever you want to call it nowadays, would have been like this Sunday night. It would have been electric. It would have been electric. And see, with this team coming home from their first Monday night win this century, coming against a team that's 11-1, they just lost their first game of the year, and you have a chance to clinch a playoff berth.
Right.
That's bonkers. It's so sad because you just imagine what this year could have been, the year that we have been waiting for 20 years, and we can't even go to experience it together with all the people that we love the most, that we've been doing this with for 10, 15 years now, tailgating, going every game, no matter what, whether we knew we were going to lose or whether we were going to win. You know, we still win every single week, every game. And now the one time that we finally get our franchise quarterback, our offense gets it together, our defense is coming together at the right time, you can't even walk in that stadium and celebrate with everybody else. It's just so disheartening.
Well, and even worse, we're in the middle of the COVID pandemic around here, and the city's shut down again. So we can't even have our football get-togethers and parties like we would even in this situation. So that part of it is definitely a downer, and that will be bittersweet. But at the same time, if you just embrace the fact that it's still an amazing football team, a young football team, and this won't be our last rodeo, man. You know, we get to the show this year. Next year, we'll be right back because this whole squad is coming back, and they'll be bigger, stronger, and better.
Don't give me goosebumps, Will. Jeez.
He's got to hope Brian Dable. That boy is going to be getting some head coaching interviews. And I think Dable's going to be – I want to compare Brian Dable, not the skill set, but the position he's in. I want to compare him to Josh McDaniels in New England because Josh McDaniels had all these opportunities to leave New England and to go elsewhere and to become a head coach. His name was thrown around with the Lions gig a few years back. It was the Browns gig. I think Kansas City even a while ago, his name was thrown around there as well before Andy Reid. And he's very comparable in that regard. And I think Brian Dable sees what he has here. He's from here. He's from West Seneca. Yeah. He went to St. Francis. I think that Brian Dable – right now has a big decision to make, obviously. But if I had to look at the big picture here, I compare it to Josh McDaniels in New England and why Josh McDaniels stayed. Why did Josh McDaniels stay in New England and keep signing extension after extension after extension? He had a franchise quarterback and he was comfortable. What is Brian Dable right now?
Yep.
He has a franchise quarterback and he's comfortable. It seems he's comfortable.
He's never had a franchise quarterback. This is the first time he's actually had someone legitimate who has achieved success because he not only has the quarterback, but the team around it as well.
Yep. I think he stays. I think he does. I hope he doesn't go. It's funny because, 3 weeks into the year, 4 weeks into the year, all of last season, the year before, we gave this guy so much shit. And here we are in December talking about a 9-3 Bills team with a lot of potential to go 10-3, maybe even 13-3. I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but that would be something.
Fredo, when you look at the front office, you know, and look at how the team was put together, it was kind of like just starting to build the pot, like starting to mix the stew. Like, think about the fact that Pegula's really just got in town a few years ago. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. And before that, the Buffalo Bills, you know, back when most of my friends were playing, you know, when Lee was here, Moles was here, Lawyer, Marshawn, like all those boys, those years they were just like treading water. They weren't even trying to build a team. They basically were trying to market the team to sell possibly to Toronto, you know, to move the team, make it more marketable. That was Ralph's kids doing that. So when you get new people at the helm that want to spend some money, that want to get a Super Bowl football team, you know, they come into town with money, ready to spend it, get some talent on the team. And what they did was they put the balls in the front office hands, say, hey, listen, give me some players. I want to win a championship. I'll write the checks. They started getting players with names, finally, marquee players in here. And now what we're seeing is the product of that work. You know, they're all starting to gel. It was just a matter of getting people in the front office who really, really wanted to win and owners who were committed to spending the money to make that happen.
I want to look this up because
perfectly said, Will. Very nice. It was.
Yeah.
And Will's got me thinking, I remember when Buddy Nix was in charge of all this, with whatever role he had with the Bills, whether it was the GM, whether he was the, like, president of football operations.
Whatever titles they gave that man.
Whatever title they gave him. But I want to – there was – oh, this is one of them. Mario Williams was probably his biggest signing.
Ooh, that was funny.
Like, actually, hang on. I'm looking at this right here. I found an article on SB Nation. It says a look back at Buddy Nix's legacy in Buffalo. That's really funny.
God, that's horrible.
That is really funny. Re-signing Stevie was one of his big games. The bad. Here we go. Hiring. See, I don't agree with these two. Hiring Chan Gailey, which Chan wasn't great, but
I love Chan Gailey.
Chan was elusive. I like Chan. And then extending Ryan Fitzpatrick's contract, maybe when you look at the big picture of it, I mean, if you look at the contract, 6 years, $59 million, six games into that 2011 year when they were, like, what? I think they were 3-4-2.
Yeah.
That's questionable. Trading Marshawn Lynch, but then the undecided, here we go. This is where the kicker is with Buddy Nix. He signed Mario Williams to a $96 million deal. He drafted E.J. Manuel 16th overall, and he hired the now Jacksonville Jaguars coach, Doug Marrone.
Right.
That's all
that All is. Right. All of that means epic failure, basically. Epic failure. Let me tell you something, Fredo. This is coming from – you can't say from the horse's mouth. This is coming from several horses' mouths. Like when I'm out, you know, with some friends kicking it, and, you know, a lot of them play ball here. No names. But when you start to really hear the meat of what goes on behind that, and when you start to realize as a fan that the organization is just throwing you a bone. So they'll sign a Mario, give a name. Like when they brought in Terrell Owens, for God's sakes. That was the only name on the team. Big T.O., eat the popcorn in the stands. But come on, man, let's get real.
That's all
that was. It was Terrell Owens and nobody else credible. And it just was something to pacify the market. That's all that was. I mean, they really honestly, like I said a few minutes ago, have just started building a real football team five years, yeah. You know, before that, it was just pacifying, trying to build a brand so that they could sell it.
Well, and I think behind you have New England in the division with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick winning absolutely everything. There's almost no chance to get that wild card unless you're really that good. And they knew we were just above mediocre for all those years, and it was aggravating, but you call a spade, that's what it was. You know, we weren't good, and like you said, we're grabbing this player, that player, just to appease all of us.
Right, exactly. I mean, and even our good friend, you know, Stevie Johnson, is great. I mean, that's my dog, love him to death. But he came in, like, when Lee was starting to fade out. Now, that's a prime example of a failure. So you get Stevie Johnson, who was drafted. He, you know, basically I always talk to Stevie man-to-man and tell him, hey, man, I'm just thankful you made it in the league because he was drafted a little late. He came in and lit it up, you know, showed everybody he was a big baller, which was great, lit it up. But my point is this. When Stevie started playing well, Lee was here at that time. We were like one or two players away from really having a playoff team. Then they started dismantling everybody because they didn't want to pay anybody at that time.
Yep.
And that set the Bills back some years. And then they started all over again, you know, Pegula and them coming to town, and they start the whole regime again, start to rebuild in a positive way. But they had several chances to build a playoff team, but they didn't do it because they didn't want to spend the money to go out and get the real talent. And the other players in the league, this is a fact from a horse's mouth, did not even want to come to Buffalo. Nobody wanted to play in Buffalo. Nobody wanted to come to Buffalo.
Not at all.
Because they knew that coming to Buffalo – they will ruin your career. They're not going to bring you a good quarterback in here. They're not going to give you – if they did bring a great quarterback, they're not going to give him a line to protect him. He'll end up looking like crap. If you're an all-star wide receiver and you can run the best routes in the world, what good is that if nobody's going to throw you the ball?
Agreed.
Exactly.
It's true.
And we had that ground-and-pound offense for years. Yep. That's all we knew in this town. Like, Fred Jackson was the hero, and I love Freddie. I would never say a bad word about him, but – you have Freddie, and then you draft CJ, and then, I mean, you didn't have anybody to throw to these receivers. These running backs couldn't even be a dual threat, and they had so much on them that it was too much.
Exactly. That's exactly it. You got to build a team, you know, and anybody listening and anybody who knows football knows this. Like you can have the best, you can have three of the best talented offensive players in the world on your offense, but if the rest of it is scrap, it'll all be garbage because no superstar can handle 11 guys on that defense. You got to have a nucleus of players that's willing to ground and pound, get out there, set them blocks. Give me some all-stars on that offensive line. Give me a good quarterback. He doesn't even have to be phenomenal. Give me a good quarterback behind a good line and some great play calling, and I'll beat you every week.
Exactly.
While we're talking about players, can we just bring up the 2021 free agency pool really quick? If you guys had a pick, and I know this isn't in our rundown from this week, but we started talking about players. I wanted to just bring it up really quick. If you guys had a pick, a guy off the top of your head that would fit this scheme that we have right now, offense and defense, who would it be to come into Buffalo?
I don't know. I'm not even sure who's in the free agent pool. I haven't really given it a look yet. So
I haven't either, in all honesty. And I just pulled up an article here.
Definitely a defensive lineman.
Definitely. And you know who's a free agent? Leonard Williams.
Oh, Leonard Williams.
Jadeveon Clowney is too, is he not?
Yeah, but I don't think we need a pass rusher. I mean, Bud Dupree is too. But well, I don't want Bud Dupree coming off injury.
I'll tell you what. Clowney is not necessarily a bad thought. Because if you look at the pass rush that we're getting right now, I get it. We are playing a hell of a lot better, but you can always increase that pass rush because we do still allow some people to sit back there a little bit too long. It could be my boy, Big Ed. It could be, you know, whoever, but the point is we need a little bit more of a pass rush. So I would say address that first, but honestly, man, I just like it. I like the way they look this week. And I think that we can play like that every week. Let's just roll with what we got.
Right. And I think the problem for years, going back to what you were saying earlier, is just this team has been too many players away from a potential championship. Yeah. Finally, we're at that point where there's maybe one or two links here and there that aren't, you know, necessarily the strongest link. You have a little bit of a weak link here and there, but it's not the majority of, you know, the offense or the defense. Everybody is seeming to gel at the correct time, and you might have one or two weak links, but it's not like the five or six that we had, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
Five or six.
Hey, Ashley, back when Moles was here, when Eric was here and Peerless was here, you know, those are the years like after Dre Kelly era. But the point is this, that could have been repeated right at that moment because Lee came in town. So when Lee and Eric were on the field at the same time, that overlapped greatness. I mean, we had a great secondary. We had Lawyer Malloy was here. I mean, London Fletcher, Tequila Spikes. I mean, we were literally a player away from another big playoff Super Bowl run, and they started dismantling it because they didn't pay Tequila. They definitely didn't pay Eric. He ended up going down to Houston. And, you know, I mean, they just started letting everybody go. And what'd they do? Yeah. They left Lee on an island by himself until Stevie developed. And then Stevie came in. And now, we had a 1-2-3 punch. But it was never that potent because we didn't have a quarterback then.
Yep. Man. What a trip down memory lane we're having tonight.
I love the good trips down memory lane, especially with this franchise.
Yeah, I mean it is. Well, you gotta look at the greatness. We look great right now, so we're talking about potential chances that we had to be great before, and now that we finally developed, we are actually sitting on the cusp of having one of those teams that can run this for a few years.
Right. I mean, I tweeted earlier how like kind of anxious I feel about just having a good team in general. It's something I was responding to Jeremy White's tweet because he said something about, you know, when you talk with your family, does the Super Bowl come up? Do you talk about the team being a contender? And I was like, well, the anxiety I get from it being a legitimate possibility is insane. Like, I'm not adjusted yet to this team being as good as quickly as they got good. Like when your parents, I compared it to when your parents buy you clothes as a kid. They buy you clothes that are a little bit bigger just so you grow into them, and then eventually they'll fit the right way. They'll do their time and whatever. You either have them as hand-me-downs or you keep them. But I just have not grown into this team being good yet. So when people are talking about Super Bowl, my brain is going crazy. I'm just like, we could really do this.
Yeah, we could.
Well, yeah. I mean, Fredo, think about it. We look at the best of the best. Okay, so when you just scan the league and think of best, instantly Patrick Mahomes pops in your mind. Russell Wilson pops in your mind. People like that, right? Look how they've been playing.
Yeah.
Look how we've been playing. So that's a very good argument. It's not even if somebody told me this in a grocery store, oh my God, we're going to the Super Bowl, like, oh my God, man, shut up. We've been hearing this for 10 years. I'll probably pay for their groceries and hope I'm loaded in their trunk because you're damn right. I think we are going to the Super Bowl. These Buffalo Bills are ready to compete. Bring on Mahomes again. If that boy steps on that field with the defense that played this past Sunday, we're going to put him on his back.
And I'll tell you this, too. I'll take the Bills over any team in the NFC right now. I mean, you had to play the NFC West, arguably the best division in football this year. And you were one Hail Mary away from sweeping that division.
Yeah.
And it kills me. It kills me. I'm not going to play the clip. I have the clip right here. I'm not going to play it.
I know you have it queued up. I'm not going to play it.
But we're one play away from sweeping the best division in football. And obviously, if you look at the 49ers, yeah, they're not that great this year. But that's the team that went to the Super Bowl. It's a team that's defense catapulted them to the Super Bowl last year and damn nearly won the Super Bowl last year. Robert Saleh is getting head coaching looks across the country. And we had them shook on Monday night. Their defense did not know how to stop us. They didn't. Josh, I mean, our receivers were wide open. Isaiah McKenzie, wide open on that touchdown pass. Gabe Davis, wide open. Yeah. Stephon Diggs, again, had another monster game. He gets over 1,000 yards receiving on the year. I mean, we are making defenses look stupid.
Hey, let's enjoy this. What about when they weren't wide open? What about like when Cole Beasley had people draped over his back and Josh threads the needle like at the goal line? I mean, that was repeat, man. I mean, that was hell of a passing game for Josh.
And the sideline passes that everybody was like tiptoeing in just to grab on the end.
A blade of grass just dragging it.
The one throw that scared me, though, and I think it was actually Cole Beasley that made the catch also, is a throw. It was kind of over the middle to the left. I think it was the second quarter. Fred Warner nearly picked it off.
Oh, yeah.
He was up. Yeah. And almost had it. Saw him jump. And you were like,
Fred Warner was 2 inches taller. That's a pick. But
that's totally true.
I would love to ask Josh this, though. Josh, did you throw that ball like that on purpose? Was it a little low out of error on your part? Or are you just that fucking good?
Right.
I'll tell you what. He was extended. I mean, I don't know. He could have just threw that. He must have been in a zone, man. I'm telling you, that meditation kicked some butt for that boy. He's in here with the candles and stuff before the game and the aromatherapy and everything, getting it going. Please let me have a wonderful game for these fans.
You know what? I pulled a soundbite earlier. Shout out to Matt Bove over at Channel 7. He tweeted this, and this soundbite is spot on. And I want you guys to take a listen to it. It's 53 seconds long. If this doesn't show you the character of Josh Allen and why he and how he performs and how he maybe meditates, just take a listen, because this kid's our quarterback and we should damn be proud of it.
Might be the one thing you fear might cause you to slip.
I mean, really the only thing when I'm on the field, I fear letting my teammates down. And that's, as a quarterback of the team, your job is to move the ball and score points. So when we're not scoring points, that's my biggest fear. And that's putting our defense in a bind. If we're not moving, the chains on third down, again, that puts us behind the eight ball and we got to punt the ball away. And that's what drives me. That's what motivates me. I fear letting the guys who drafted me, this front office and this organization down, by trading up to come get me. And that's the biggest fears that I have. And, that's, I guess, why in my mind that I work extremely hard.
You gotta love this kid. You have to absolutely love this kid. I mean, he's going out there and saying how he's every single week he's playing the way. I mean, like, when's the last quarterback we heard in Buffalo say that? Kelly?
No, we haven't. I can't remember any, to be quite honest.
I mean, Fitz was dealing with 6-10 year after 6-10 year. Yeah, we all love Fitz. But he never had the Bills other than that fluke start at the beginning of 2011. He never had the Bills in this kind of position.
Well, no, Fitz was never this type of quarterback. We haven't had this type of quarterback thinking way back since, honestly, Jim Kelly. And you have to say Jim Kelly because he was the GOAT and obviously took us to Super Bowls and whatever. But to be quite honest, and this might sound crazy, I could possibly get some heat for saying this. I think that Josh's mechanics and the way he plays the game, just his mechanics, his athleticism, his running ability, his accuracy, which is just now starting to come into its own, is actually the best quarterback we've seen. I mean, he is on pace to be the best quarterback ever in Buffalo if he continues at this pace at this age of his career.
Wow. Those are some strong words.
That was bold, but I liked it.
Those are some strong words, but I agree. I mean, you're comparing him. Ashley, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying I agree. I mean, you like Will said, you haven't seen this kind of a quarterback. And you even saw, like, Jill Kelly a couple weeks tweet out, you know, passing of the torch. They've been waiting for this moment for years since Jim retired.
Mm-hmm. So, and people recognize that.
Yes. And even 26 Shirts made a shirt this week. And it is Jim Kelly passing the torch to Josh Allen.
Right. I believe that. Hey, real quick. Fredo, real quick. Listen. One thing, too, about the Jim – first of all, let's not get into that. You know, the Kobe, Michael Jordan thing. We're not trying to get into that. But what I am saying is that Josh is phenomenal. Jim Kelly was an amazing quarterback, but you have to look at leverages. When Jim was phenomenal, I'm talking about every single position was a Pro Bowler back then, offense and defense. Yep. He had a supporting cast that was completely incredible. What we have is we have some Pro Bowlers. Diggs, really. You know, Beasley's a monster for us. But we have a bunch of young, hungry boys trying to just beat some teams out here. I mean, these boys are putting it together on the field. They're not those marquee names like Jim Kelly had on his rosters. That's the big difference there. So that's why I say Josh's legacy, with what he has to work with, putting it together the way he's doing it, with the number of phenomenal games he's putting together right now, starting this year, last year, you know, but this year, on this pace, Josh is on pace to be better than that.
I wholeheartedly agree with that statement. I just pulled up the Pro Bowl votes because you brought it up.
Wasn't Josh second was in the AFC total? I want to say.
It only shows first place right now. But the only Bill, or there's two, Robert or Andre Roberts,
as he Stephon
Diggs. That's it. Wait a second.
But I want to say on the defense, I want to say Poyer, Tremaine Edmonds, Tre'Davious. I want to say they were all up there. I know Poyer was number one in safeties in the AFC.
He's not anymore, unless this article is old. When did this article come out? Oh, this article was posted 14 days ago. My bad.
That would make sense. Because I was like, Josh was second, Stephon was first, Jordan Poyer was first, Tremaine was up there, Tre'Davious was up there. And then Beasley, I want to say, was on his way up as well.
I can't find that.
He's up there now.
Standings.
And Andre Roberts definitely should be number one in the returners, period.
Andre Roberts is having a great year. And we're paying that guy peanuts. I mean, granted, yeah, he's really only a returner. And the guy was out there for a couple games at wideout for us when we had all those injuries earlier on. And it wasn't that great. But Andre Roberts having a monster year just returning the football.
Well, he's earning his check. He's based off of this. I know he's getting paid peanuts now, but he's earning a contract. He will get a contract. Even if it's a return contract, it might not be, you know, the big mega contract, but he'll get a deal and get some money because look at his returns. He's a key element for us on that field.
He'll get a deal similar to like what Marcus Easley got a few years back, like $3 million a year. And it's funny because we dumped him earlier on just to restructure his contract. I think the front office was like, he's making too much. Now he's making too little.
Now it's definitely worth what we should have paid him and should have never given it up in the first place. I mean,
you got to wonder if that was strategy, though. Was that front office strategy to say, okay, go earn your money. We'll pay you next year. We'll make it worth your while next year. Go earn it this year.
You know what I think it is? I think it was more the fact that the Bills, you look at the whole team as a board, and you look at how many great players you have and how much money they're actually paying out now versus what they used to pay out. So now you're looking at that $3 million extra to pay a marquee player to come in here versus paying somebody that, yeah, we can keep this guy or let him go possibly if we can possibly add this money towards somebody else who could be great coming in here. I think they're just trying to spread the money around a little bit and kind of cover all bases. But I think, like I said, he will be signed. He will get a contract. It'll be like an easy contract, a few million dollars a year, but, you know, he will get a deal.
I mean, they got to pay guys next year. It's going to be interesting to see what they do.
I'm so nervous.
They're going to pay him
a lot.
They're going to restructure. They're going to restructure a lot of those deals. They're going to front load some of those contracts. They're going to pay these guys. And because that would go against everything that the Pegulas have been doing since they got here, if they started to let guys go because they didn't want to pay them. I've seen ways where they come in and they restructure those deals where it won't touch a cap. So it's a lot of ways they can do it. And I say that right now, since we're on a bubble of having this phenomenal team for a few years, that you make those deals work out in whatever structure way you need to make it work out.
And you also got to talk about how the guys are going to be willing to, you know, maybe accept a little less upfront or less later on or less overall, just because they want to stay on a team that is good, the team that is winning, right, a team that is gelling correctly with every player that has to be in the position they are playing to be successful. So I want to say that even though we do have to pay out a lot next year, I think you're right. We're going to restructure a lot just so that this team can stay together.
Exactly. And I personally, I think that we're going to – by March, you are going to see breaking news of a contract extension for Josh Allen, even though next year is his final year of his rookie deal. They aren't going to let that guy play on his rookie deal for another year. And then comes into the question, is his – if he – let's say he has a year like Pat Mahomes did last year. Hypothetically speaking, we go to the playoffs, we win the Super Bowl – We get to the AFC title game even. Is his contract more than Pat Mahomes' 10-year, $503 million deal?
I don't think it's going to be. I think that's too much too soon. I want to say it'll still be a decent contract. They don't want to short the guy. I mean, he's done wonderful things for this franchise. You know, the last couple of years has brought us more success than we've seen in the last 20. So we're definitely going to pay him, in my opinion. I just don't know where that's going to be. It's going to be very interesting because, you see, we paid Tre'Davious White, but we made sure we got it done before Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
We got it done before Jalen Ramsey so that we wouldn't have to pay him as much, but we still retain a player that is the best in the league, one of the best in the league. So I think with Josh Allen, you have to wonder, you know, because Patrick Mahomes just got paid, where that contract's going to be. It's a mystery.
Okay, wait a minute. Now, Josh Allen, I know I just finished tooting his horn all over the place, and he's great. But, no, we can't like Mahomes. Josh is a phenomenal quarterback. The only way that he's going to get even close to any kind of money like that is if we, God bless us, make the Super Bowl or late-round playoffs right now. They're going to keep him and pay him. And he doesn't want to leave. He loves Buffalo. So that's really not going to be a threat. But it becomes what he puts on the field this year is going to dictate the amount of money he gets. But even then, it won't be that type of $400 million crazy deals like that. He is our franchise quarterback, no question. But I wouldn't even think it would be close to the realm of that. I mean, Pat was Super Bowl, you know, quarterback. I mean, that's a big difference right there. You know, you got a guy and playoff contender before that. Josh, playoff 1 year, we stunk it up. Now this year, you know, we go there, we perform like we're supposed to. Now he has some leverage for a bigger contract. But, you know, if Josh gets in that, $20 million a year type of a contract, I mean, that's phenomenal for this guy if he gets that kind of money.
You think 20 is the right number?
No, not really. You know what I'm going to tell you, Fredo? I don't even want to put a number on it because I don't want to commit. And I'm going to tell you why I don't want to commit. Because 2 weeks ago, I was trashing Josh. Josh, where are you at out there? You know, he looked great this week, last week. Now I'm like, all right, Josh. So as long as I'm up and down, high and low, I mean, Josh is like NASDAQ, you know, right now. So right now he's on that high, you know. So while he's on that high, I'm betting hard. I'm putting all my money up in the bank, baby, looking at Ferraris and Lamborghinis, baby, because I know Josh, but give me that money. But when you really look at it, you can't really say that because they might repo my shit next week if Josh have a bad game. So can't have it. If Josh plays consistent next week, beat Pittsburgh, get us into the playoffs, get us into late round playoffs, maybe not even Super Bowl. Hopefully so, guys. But if not, second round playoffs, he gets a big deal. We see the potential in the kid right now. We know he has it in him, but what you need is consistency. You can't have guys that look great and not really producing the product.
I think that if he makes it to the AFC title game, not even wins the game. And I think, honestly, the last team that a lot of teams are going to want to face this year in the playoffs is this Bills team, based on what they saw on Sunday or on Monday.
A lot of the national media said that, especially the Chiefs. They said the Chiefs do not want to go against this Bills team right now.
They're hot. They're hot. And we've never been able to say this. This is like, I don't even know what this is comparable to. It's unbelievable to even talk about. But if the Bills make it to the AFC title game this year, in January, late January, early February, whenever the game is, if they even make it to that game and they lose respectfully, or they somehow win to go to the Super Bowl,
oh my God,
Josh Allen is getting a $35 to $45 million deal. If he wins the Super Bowl, freaking take some of my tax dollars and give him more money than Pat Mahomes. I don't care.
I agree. I think he can really lock in a contract if that happens. If he gets late round Super Bowl, God, yes. Any quarterback that gets to a Super Bowl.
Throw the kitchen sink. Just
yeah. All of it. Everybody just tossing whatever you got to pay the guy if that's the case.
I'll give my entire salary for Josh Allen's contract if he gets to Super Bowl. I'll tell you right now. But we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. I want to bring up, obviously, a big game on Sunday or on Sunday night. Yeah, wow, I'm all over the place with these days and these games and these nights, and it's so fun. Sunday night football, Pittsburgh Steelers coming to town, 11-1, coming off of a rough loss to WFT. Some people call them WTF, Washington Football Team. What do the Bills have to do to win this game on Sunday night? I'm going to start here with Ashley, and then we'll go to Will. Sunday night football, what do we have to do to win this game? Again, another one on the national stage in prime time.
Well, I don't know if this is are we three keysing it? Or are we
no, just like a quick point, and then we'll get to the three keys.
Okay. Well, my kind of one point was this Pittsburgh team coming off a loss could be bad for the Bills. You know, any team that comes off a loss, we got the Chiefs off a loss and look what happened. You know, they came back with that vengeance that, you know, that oomph, because, you know, this is the first one they lost all season. So they still need to be taken seriously, in my opinion. You know, James Conner's coming off that COVID list. He's back this week. So just don't take it like it's going to be easy. It's not.
It's not. Will, the fuzzy mic.
This is my old fuzzy mic. This is Will Weiss, so serious podcast. Hey, listen. Hey, listen, as far as this Buffalo Bills win this week, I think one of the big things that the Buffalo Bills need to do is this. Come in, play hungry like you played this past week. Pittsburgh, you know, I don't think they're buying into the whole hype of Pittsburgh because they see how Pittsburgh squeaked past a lot of their wins this season. And how they almost lost to teams that were subpar teams. They beat them, but, you know, edged them out. Yeah. So I think that Buffalo comes in there. They put it on them with these wide receivers. They chew them up like they saw them get chewed up the other day. I mean, Pittsburgh's defense is very beatable. I know the whole mystery of the steel curtain and all of this stuff. I get it. They coached up over there. But right now, I think we have a better offense than they have of defense. And I feel that we can put up points against that team. And I think that if Josh has the same composure and poise that he showed this past week, we can break that defense down and we can win that game. Defensively, it's really important that we put pressure on Ben because Ben is older now and Ben is not the most mobile quarterback. He's a big boy, but he's not the most mobile. So if you put a pass rush on him, get him to throw some balls up in the air. We can let that young secondary of ours pick some things off for us and, possibly get some good pick sixes. But I think that we got to go in there, play strong football. Don't be intimidated by that color scheme they got going over there, that black and gold. We're going to go get all up in them and beat them this week.
I'm going to I agree. I think we are going to win this game. There is one thing that I want to point out. I was going to use this as part of my three keys, but it's on my mind now, and I'm just going to bring it up now. I'm looking at the Bills' schedule from the entire season, a tough schedule, a schedule that we talked about earlier in the year saying this team might be lucky to get to 10-6. If you look at that rough stretch they had in the middle of the season in October where they got blown out in Tennessee and then they come home and they lose by 9 to a Kansas City Chiefs team in what was a monsoon in Orchard Park, and then they only scored 18 all field goals against the Jets. Those are the three probably ugliest games offensively for the Bills this season. The rest of the games this year for the Bills, they've scored at least 24 points. Other than those three games, the rest of the season, they scored at least 24 points in every single game. I think they're going to score more than that on Sunday. And quite frankly, I don't think Pittsburgh's going to be able to keep up with our offensive firepower. I don't think so either.
No,
I don't see it. Big Ben is not – Big Ben's old. Our defense.
That's what I said.
Pittsburgh is not that good of a team, guys. Pittsburgh is not that good of a team. I can talk about this. I can write about this. I can say it every single day until the day that I die. Pittsburgh is not that good of a football team. They are not a good. If the Jets had that schedule, the Jets probably would have won three or four games this year.
That's a fact. Right. Like when I went on my little rant earlier, that's why I did it. Because you see all these, it's a cupcake schedule. That's what I've been calling it to everyone. It's a cupcake schedule. You have the Browns and the Bengals in your division, and one of your two games with the Ravens, they basically had everybody out, including the quarterback, because of COVID. I mean, you have this Bills team out here. We've beaten the 8-4 LA Rams. We've beaten the 8-4 Seattle Seahawks. We've beat the 8-4 Miami Dolphins. We beat Las Vegas. Right. They're 7-5. We've beat New England, who is 6-6. Tell me a better team in the AFC right now that's beat teams with better records than we have beaten.
Nobody.
Right.
Zero.
That's true.
Nobody. That's
very true.
And the Steelers, too. I mean, if you look at their last three, I mean, and there's a point in time, too. That Jacksonville game, they really didn't pull away until the second quarter of that game. I mean, they didn't score in the first. They didn't score in the third. Yeah, they scored 17 in the second quarter. But they don't pull away from teams. I mean, their last two games, they scored 14 against Baltimore and 17 against Washington. 17 against Washington. They scored 24 against the Dallas team that is a laughingstock right now. They scored.
That was hilarious last night. Hey, did you guys watch the Ravens game last night?
I got a little bit.
No, this really did happen. Like, I actually posted it on Facebook. It really happened. Like, the Ravens ran in the end zone. You know how the stadium's so quiet, you can hear everything. Yeah. The guy was like, man, this is easy money, man. This is too easy. He was talking about the Dallas defense. You can hear him loud and clear. Man, this is too easy. And I looked at the Dallas defense, and they're walking around scratching their head, itching their butt. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with this team, man?
Wow.
I mean,
that's crazy. Seriously.
And I say that to say this. Pittsburgh's defense is not much better than that. I mean, Pittsburgh's defense is not what it was 5 years ago, even 3 years ago.
No.
So Buffalo going in there with our high power offense, with Beasley playing the way that they're playing now, Diggs on point like he's been, you know, Davis. I mean, that kid is freaking, he's our young star. Yeah. We are loaded, man, and they have to pick their poison. And the consequence will be this. They pick their poison. Where are we at now finally with this running game? Finally, minus Moss, you know, a couple fumbles.
Look, just because he had a fumble, you know, he had a rough day.
I don't know, man. That really flipped me out. I still love the kid, though. I still think he's a hell of a running back. I think he's going to be great.
Yeah,
he's going to be good. But a point is we our running game is finally starting to come together along with that passing game, and that is what's going to keep defenses honest and actually get us past these tough teams.
I agree. This game is – I'm so excited for this game on Sunday. The Bills right now, too, are a 2.5-point favorite on Sunday Night Football.
Wait a minute. We were the underdogs, were we not?
We were, and that's – it scares me a little bit because this is the same exact
line. They put us 2.5-point favorites?
2.5-point favorites right now, according to ESPN.
Wow.
I saw that earlier, and I didn't really believe it. And I looked at it online and on TV, and it said 2.5-point favorites. We were the underdog at first.
They're growing up. It's so nice to see.
But we are like
– that's pretty scary, Ashley.
Technically a 0.5-point dog because the home team gets 3. But still, I mean – and, Will, you mentioned Gabe Davis. I mean, he's having a monster year.
Yeah, he is.
As a rookie. And everybody called this – he's – we saw – him play earlier on, everyone's like, this guy's going to be a stud. And so far, he's got 25 catches, 422. He's averaging 16 yards a catch. He's got 5 touchdowns this year, guys.
They said he looks like, you know, Larry Fitzgerald, and I completely see it. And you know what? It's nice to see, you know, such a young rookie stepping up in the absence of John Brown. You got Beasley and you got Gabe Davis stepping up in his absence. We were really worried about this game this week because we're like, oh my God, Smoke can't play. You know, he's on IR. He's got 3 weeks. You know, hopefully we can get him healthy for the playoffs, but he's the one stretching the field. And Gabe Davis really helped with that stretching of the field. And then Bees is always open underneath and his hands are like flypaper. So these two, I'm really proud of them.
Well, Gabe gives us some length too. He's got long arms. He's long. Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. And it's nice that he was just like wide open for that touchdown pass. It was just so easy for him.
It was. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to our three keys to the game brought to you by 26 Shirts. Ashley, you always start us out. So I want Will to start us off this week. Three keys to the game. Will, you go.
All right, my first key is going to – well, it's going to kind of sound like repeat what I said a few minutes ago, but one thing is this, put the pressure on Big Ben. I like to see that defense live in that backfield. I'm not going to say blitz crazy because then, you know, Ben is a seasoned quarterback. He'll eat us up short over the middle, but I will say put some pressure on Ben, get him to throw some balls that we might be able to intercept and pick off. Second thing is going to be to, you know, let Josh do his thing back there, man. I mean, you know, we don't want him running all over the field, but we definitely want to protect because – Pittsburgh does have a good pass rush, so we definitely need to make sure that we have plays designed so that we can actually eat short, you know, get some screen play going with Singletary, you know, get that tight end play going, you know, just in case those longer routes that we decide to run don't come to par because, you know, the pass rush is going to be so nice. The last thing I'm going to say is really just keep focused. Don't listen to anything at all. The media is talking about Pittsburgh's record and all of this stuff. Buffalo Bills, go in there and focus, play your game, offense and defense. Play it like what I said a little while ago. We don't have all the big marquee names on this team, but what we do have is young, hungry players who are willing to go to battle every single week. Play composed, play as a team, get out there and win this game.
Ashley.
All right. Well, my three keys kind of have an overarching theme of consistency, but I would say we just saw the most complete game by the Bills this year. So like I said a couple minutes ago, still take this Pittsburgh Steelers team seriously. Still try to go 1-0 this week. Keep that focus. Keep that drive that we saw against the 49ers. As for my second key, keep the tight ends moving as well. Keep the tight ends and the run game involved. Because you got your wide receivers. You got your 375 yards passing. But make sure you're keeping those tight ends involved. Dawson Knox seems like he got a little kick in him and he's, you know, peaking at the correct time. You know, he's finally starting to catch those passes that he used to drop. And you finally see Devin Singletary getting involved this week with 61 yards on 18 carries. So keep the consistency with the offense. And then my third key is kind of what Will was saying earlier, you know, make sure that pressure's on Big Ben, you know, make sure you're rushing him as often as you can, but also make sure, you know, that secondary is still consistent. We saw a little inconsistency with Levi Wallace this week, and I wasn't a huge fan. We did. Obviously they were getting picked. They were picking on him. That was their game plan. And, you know, he still did decent, but not as good as we'd like to see. I want to see Dane Jackson elevated off that practice squad. I know it sounds weird to, you know, trust an undrafted rookie from this year a little more than Levi Wallace, but I want to see what he can do in the mix because I honestly believe he's a playmaker, and that's what we need this defense to do is make these plays.
All right, I'm gonna start it off here. Bench Lee Smith. I think Tyler Kroft has to be in there this week. That one pass that Josh had on that fourth and goal from the one, if that's Dawson Knox or that's Tyler Kroft, that's a touchdown catch. Bills are up 7-0 early in that game. Lee Smith, yes, great blocker, but he isn't as good as Tyler Kroft and Dawson Knox are. Tyler Kroft needs to be in there ahead of Lee Smith on Sunday. And Tyler Kroft, also remember, monster game last year at Pittsburgh on Sunday night. Look for another performance like that this week against the Steelers in 2020. My second key to the game, Cole Beasley, man. This guy is just a monster recently. He's on pace really for 1,000 yards this year if he can keep it up. This is the guy that's had 22 catches in the last three games. He's had two of his last three games are 100 yards or more receiving. Cole Beasley needs to keep productive. If we can stretch the field with Cole can get open. You're also going to create space for Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis and Isaiah McKenzie. because look at that pass to Isaiah McKenzie earlier in the or against the Niners.
Very nice.
He was came out of the backfield, got wide open. If you can have guys like Cole Beasley continue to do what he's doing on the football field, you will have plays like that with Isaiah McKenzie getting wide open and defenses looking shook. My third key to the game is simple. Don't let the noise get to you. Don't let the noise get to you. You're good. You're hot right now. You're playing amazing football. Don't let it get to your head. Go out there. Beat a bad Pittsburgh Steelers team, a bad 11-1 Pittsburgh Steelers team. Go out there, beat them, get your elusive 10th win of the year, and prove all these people wrong, all these guys at Pro Football Focus, all these guys at ESPN that are picking against you every single week, your Pro Football Focus guys that say, oh, the Bills, Josh Allen's the third best quarterback from the 2018 draft class. Please. You're going to tell me right now that Lamar Jackson, a.k.a. Stevie One-Hit Wonder, is as good or is better than Josh Allen? No. Lamar Jackson had one good year, and that's it. He is not that good. The Bills are going to win this game on Sunday night. My prediction, I'm putting it right here, 30-13. They're going to get a 17-point dub. Pittsburgh's not going to be able to keep up with this offense. And it's that simple. Buffalo's going to get their 10th win of the season on Sunday night. End rant. I lost my voice this episode, but rightfully so. The Bills are back with a vengeance, and they're coming for you. They're coming for the world. They're coming for Pittsburgh on Sunday night. And then next week, they're coming for everybody
Buffalo
else.
Buffalo versus everybody.
Buffalo versus everybody.
Hey.
Oh.
Wait.
Oh, wait.
Hey, it is what it is. What it is. It is what it is. We're back. The Bills are back, and it is what it is.
It is.
Hey, my prediction for this week is 34-17 Buffalo.
Wow, I said 30-17. We all had some pretty close scores. So, Buffalo, obviously. Sorry. I'm sure y'all knew I meant, you know, Buffalo.
It's okay, Ashley. We know who Buffalo is. You know why? Because it is what it is.
All right, guys. We're taking the Bills across the board this week by two scores or more. It's funny. Well, I almost said 34-17, but I didn't want to pick the same exact score as this week. We're going to make the Steelers look stupid in Orchard Park on Sunday night. And the Steelers are – and it, you know what's going to be funny? What's going to be funny is that we're going to wrap up. What's going to be funny is the fact that if Pittsburgh does lose this game on Sunday, you're going to hear every analyst in the world say how, oh, is this Pittsburgh team really that good? Or is this a good 11-2 football team? No, they suck. They are an awful football team. They're not good. They're barely beating teams that are not good.
And can I just bring up
I'll tell you what, I don't even want to get into the situation where we have to wait to hear what anybody's saying. I want to go in there and officially put our foot on these boys' neck and beat them. This 34-17 Ashley and I decided is going to happen. Route these boys. No questions asked. Not a close game. They're not as good as us. Let's put it on the field and win this game.
Hell yeah. I want to hear Renegade play in Bills Stadium at the beginning of the fourth quarter to get our boys riled up because you know they're playing at a practice this week.
Oh,
let's go. Let's go.
Let's go, baby. All right, guys, that's season.
Matt Barkley is happening. Buffalo logo.
Matt Barkley's on the sideline. Just getting amped. I love it. All right, guys, season 3, episode Stevie Johnson 13, Why So Serious podcast. It is what it is. The Bills looking for their 10th win of the season, Sunday night, primetime, NBC, Al Michaels, Chris Collinsworth, Michelle Tafoya on the sidelines here in Orchard Park. The Bills, let's see if they can do it. And if they can do it, I'm going to tell you right now, 13-3, record prediction. Right here, you heard it here first. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
For Ashley, Will, I'm Fredo. Why So Serious podcast. We'll see you next week. Hopefully breaking down another big primetime win ahead of another primetime football game. We'll see you guys. Peace.
Go, Bills.
Go, boys.
Come about my feels like Stevie Johnson. Pull my women, throw it back like I caught an option. Money on my mind, money on my conscience. I'm all about my bills. I'm on my Stevie Johnson. I'm about my bills like Stevie Johnson.
Johnson. For my women, throw it back like I caught an option. Money on my mind, money on my conscience. I'm all about my bills. I'm on my Stevie Johnson.
Big bills in my duffel, yo. You don't want trouble, bro. Heat in my pocket, heart cold like buffalo. I would just hustle one thing, but I need options. That work about to touch down, call it Steve Johnson. Catch me flying through the field like who want beef? It's 25, but I could get it for the 1-3. Certified fly guy, you on my time. I'm really real and you as real as a sci-fi. I'm trying to bring it home, baby. It's our time. They cheering for me like I'm across the 1-yard line. And I'm all about my bills like Stevie Johnson.
Black card boys, yes, BCB, we pop.
Get that dough straight across like I'm running streaks. My bills come in hundreds, my women come in threes. This hater ran up on your boy like he was furious. I lifted up my shirt like, why so serious?
I'm about my bills like Stevie Johnson. Hold my women, throw it back like I caught an option. Money on my mind, money on my conscience. I'm all about my bills.